Mary and Martha and Lazarus, along with the beloved disciple in John's gospel, are the only four people that it is told of us, it's told to us that Jesus loved them. Right? Jesus loves this family. This is a family that has given him a place to stay, has cared for him, has fed him again. You know Jesus, he's loving to eat. And there they are. And they're in trouble. Lazarus, their brother, is sick. Now this is really important. The brother, the male of the family. Because you'll remember that women don't have a lot of status in society. He does as the man in the family. He dies, something happens to him, then the women are somewhat set loose. They don't have the same kind of legal standing that the brother does, right? So there's that. But there's also just the fact that they love him. And they know that Jesus loves him. And they know that Jesus will come. So they send word to Jesus. And Jesus doesn't come. He stays 2 days longer intentionally before going to get to Lazarus. He knows what's going to happen. But can you imagine? You don't have to imagine. You don't have to imagine. You know what it's like to wait for God. And God isn't showing up. Right? You know this. You've had this happen in your life. That's what Martha and Mary are experiencing. They just know that Jesus is going to be there. And he doesn't show up. And Lazarus dies. And then, 4 days into Lazarus' being in the grave, Jesus finally shows up. 4 days is an important thing. For some reason, 3 days in the grave, maybe you can have a resuscitation. But 4 days is the day of hopelessness. That's it. That's it. Hope is cut off after 3 days. That's why John tells us it's been 4 days. An interesting detail. So there they are, and their brother Lazarus is in the grave. He's buried. The stone has been rolled over the grave. Everything is in place for them to no longer have their brother. And here's the thing. It's just a beautiful, that Linda read so beautifully, we are clean cut off, right? That's what the people of Israel say. That's what death is, being cut off, right? When we think about love, we need to think about our bodies. Our bodies are really the instrument of our love. Right? When we want to show love to somebody, this is what we use. We use our body. We hug somebody. We kiss somebody. We hold their hand. Right? We feed them. We hold them. That's what our bodies are for. And just as a little aside, when we use our bodies for other things, violence and that, we are totally going against what we are made for. This body is for love. It is not for hate. It is not for anger and hostility. All right, that's the end of that parenthesis. All right, that's what it's for. And when somebody dies, this is the power of death. Death cuts us clean off from the possibility of expressing love to one another, right? Once Lazarus is in the grave, Mary and Martha can't do anything. They can't hold him. They can't hold his hand. They can't feed him. They can't do anything for him, nor he for them. And we get a hint of this because the narrator tells us that Mary is the one who anointed Jesus' head and feet, right? And washed his feet with her hair. You know, that hasn't happened yet in the gospel. That happens in chapter 12. This is chapter 11. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. But John wants us to know that that's what happened. That's how Mary expresses her love for Jesus. It's with her body, washing his feet with her hair. It's beautiful, isn't it? But that's no longer available for Lazarus.
and Mary and Martha.
So that's what's at stake. Love is at stake. Hope is at stake. And so when Jesus finally comes, Martha gives him a little bit of a what's for, doesn't she? If you had been here, my brother would still be alive. And then she says these great words. Even now, I know that God will do for you whatever you ask. That's what she tells Jesus. Even now, with my brother 4 days in the tomb. Even now, with my body weighed down by grief. Even now, me watching my sister's heart break in two because of her brother's death. Even now, when I'm really mad at you for not showing up, even now, I know that God will do for you whatever you ask. Now, this is not some, I don't think this is Martha generating this great heroic faith. I think this is what the psalmist says when he says, out of the depths I cry to you. This is Martha in the depths. And this cry of even now arises out of her. Even in the midst of all of that suffering, even in the midst of all of her hopelessness, even when she has been cut off from one she loves, out of that comes this cry, even now. Even now. We know that cry too, don't we? Even now. Even now, when sickness and illness seems to be knocking at our door all the time. Even now, when people we love are dying. Even now, when you look at the church and it looks like it's dying. Even now, we cry to the Lord. And oh, how the Lord hears. And there are times, like I said, when we know that God isn't coming when we want Him to be there. But we also know of times when people have cried out of the depths and had to wait and wait until God showed up. Y'all remember, you remember the angst in the depths of which our dear friend Rolf was when his daughter was addicted to heroin, where she was cut off. Nothing could get to her. And nothing that Rolf could do helped her. Was this cry all the time? We sang it today. Lord, have mercy, right? In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That's the prayer you pray when you can't do anything or say anything to make it better. You say, Lord, have mercy. You say, even now, in this mess, oh God, come and be with us. And that wasn't 3 or 4 days. That was 3 or 4 years. Until the Lord arrived. Until his daughter was healed. Raised from the dead. Mary Morgan, come out. Be unbound. Of your addiction. Be free. And Lord, what a life she has led since then. Starting group after group of support, being the one then to lend a hand for people to rise up.
What an amazing thing, huh? Oh, it wasn't 4 days. It was grueling long years. But Jesus showed up. And Jesus showed up in you all as you accompanied him through that, he and Karen. And Jesus shows up in you again just this last week. The family I told you about last week, who's been this 21-year-old kid who's raising these other kids now, three other siblings. For a year he's been at this. Didn't realize it was that long. He's been at this for a year. And it's been hard. And he's got debts. And he's buried in debt. And he's buried in despair. And he's buried in all kinds of things. Hatred. All these things. And last week, I told you about him. And one of our saints said, well, couldn't we give him a little money? Right now, give it to you to give to him? And in like 5 minutes, $500 to go give to him. Which is just, that's just a token. But I took it to him, and it was received with tears. And not because of the $500, but because he's not alone anymore, this guy. He's been at this a year. And now there's somebody coming alongside of him. And he's beginning to feel like he can see the light of day. Even now, having been abandoned, even now having to deal with being an adult, taking care of these kids, even now he's seeing what God can do, what you all are doing for him. And it's just going on and on. I keep hearing other things, connections, contacts, other people going to visit him. It's just an amazing thing. Juan, come out. Come out of the depths. We are walking with you. Jesus doesn't have his own body anymore. He's not walking around on the earth. You all are his body. And you all are the ones who are showing love, the love of Jesus, to the community, to the people who are in need of it. Your body is the instrument of love. Your body is the instrument of hope. Two sisters who lost their brother, who are grieving their brother. Jesus arrives, and out of the depths, even then, they cried to him, and he answered. And he came to the tomb, that power of death which cuts us clean off. And he says, no more. Death will not cut us off anymore. Love conquers the grave. Be unbound. Love, be free.